morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning on this first Sunday in April, our Sunday of Communion. I want to welcome everyone, and especially those of you who are here as visitors. We welcome you, and there's a little blue card in the pew if you'd like to fill that out for us, and we might be able to get to know you a little bit better. Please do so. And also, too, there's a little yellow card in our pews if there's a prayer request that you would want to have prayed during our worship service. Just fill that out and give it to the ushers when they come for the offering, and then we'll pray at the close of our service. Pastor Micah is getting his basketball fix, and he's in Minneapolis right now at the Final Four. And I don't know if anybody goes on to Facebook, but if you check his Facebook, he's happy, I'll say it that way, as he's there watching the Final Four. We have a lot to announce here this morning, and I want to begin with that. If you turn into the insert, on the one side of the page where there's some musical notes, we are going to be putting together a choir for our Easter service. And Pastor Jim Fugelberg is going to be leading that choir, and so he's seeking to recruit both the guys and gals, any age. If you want to be a part of that choir, just meet together after the service here this morning, and then we'll be meeting two more times after that. Is that right, Jim? Okay, and the schedule is actually on this side of our bulletin insert, and again, you're just encouraged to be a part of that, and also, too, that we are trying to assemble a bell choir, and if you're interested in that, then it would be helpful if you can read music, and they would like to be able to play on May 5th, and if you're interested in that, would you just please talk to Pam, and she'll direct you in that matter. Also, too, while we're on the same side of that page, that the Luther Ambassador subscriptions are due, and please see to that if you want to become a recipient of the Luther Ambassador. As far as our schedule, we have a regular schedule for this week. There is, however, at 5 o'clock tonight, a youth group friendship party here at the church, and that'll be a potluck for our youth, and you're encouraged to bring something. Also then, to Wednesday, our regular Lenten season service for this Wednesday. And then after that service, there'll be a choir practice at 7:30. And then Thursday, you'll notice that our bulletin deadline is now Thursday mornings. And if you can do so, Rachel would appreciate that as she puts together our bulletin. And then again, next Sunday after the worship service, we will have our Easter choir practice. A couple of other announcements that I'd like to make, but one in particular is yesterday the AFLC Schools Corporation met, and the reason for our getting together was to decide whether or not to go ahead and give the Schools Corporation Board of Directors permission to go ahead and begin the construction of the Student Life Center. And it was a unanimous vote, and that center will begin construction immediately. And we hope to be able to be providing information as that goes on. If you have any questions, you can talk to Becky Berge or myself. We are on the corporation. And also, Ivor is on the building committee. And so we just encourage all of us here at St. Paul's and across the AFLC to become informed about that and to be praying about it, especially as we seek God's guidance and God's provision, and that the construction would go as planned, and the building committee has done a lot of work in preparation for that. And even though the financing isn't quite what the first parameters were set, we met, we prayed, and it's just that unanimous sense of God's timing. It's time to pull the plug and get it built. And as one of the school board or corporation members said, we've been dreaming about this for 52 years. It's time to do it. And so, by God's grace, it will happen. Are there other announcements this morning? If not, I want to read from our bulletin, our call to worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And may we arise and sing our opening hymn, Holy, holy, holy.
I invite you to stay standing as we sing our first hymn today. I'm going to read to you from Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." We are going to sing hymn number 174, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. He humbled himself and came to be our servant, and now we worship him as Lord of all." So please join us in singing 174, verses 1, 3, and 5.
Second song we'll be singing is number 61 in your hymnal, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." "They plaited a crown of thorns on his head and put it on his head," Mark 15:17.
Scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine
John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We're going to sing Lamb of God. It's on the extra insert that you picked up in the door.
On this Communion Sunday, we come to our confession of sins. You'll notice that our confession is a newer confession here to us at St. Paul's. And I also want to direct you, too, to the inside cover of our bulletin on this Communion Sunday. There is an area there where it mentions preparing for Holy Communion. And that's a reference to pages 14 and 15 of the Ambassador Hymnal. And you're encouraged to look at that perhaps during the service this morning as well. Will we join together as we come before the Lamb of God and confess our sin unto Him? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You to confess to You that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of Your glory. We have not loved You above all things or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to You and look to You in faith for Your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us Your mercy and grace and help us to live our lives in the way that most honors You. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read from selected verses of Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. I acknowledged my sin to You, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and You forgave me the guilt of all my sin. In 1 John 1:9, we're told, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At this time, we're going to ask Carrie Meske to come forward and read our scripture for this morning.
The Old Testament lesson is for this fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 22. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Isaiah chapter 43, starting with verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they can't rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, and the rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. The gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 19. Luke 20, starting at verse 19. And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. Here ends the reading.
And we continue our worship as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll call upon our ushers at this time, please. Our message this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Would you please rise and join me in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 8 through 14 as we do so in Christ's name. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that by your working of your Holy Spirit, we can come to understand your word that you have given unto us. Father, we pray that you remove all barriers against that aim of your word. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In your glorious name, amen. You may be seated. One of the most unsettling experiences a person can go through is coming to realize that your life up to that point has been out of sync with what God wants the human experience to be. We just read from Philippians chapter 3, and as we hear Paul there speaking, as the Spirit's inspiring him, we hear a man of a confidence and a man of comfort, but it wasn't always that way for Paul. One of the things we see there is that as Paul writes, is a man of joy and peace. But there was a time in Paul's life that was rather unsettling. It's the same time in someone's life when you are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially if it happens to you during adulthood. And that as that takes place, it seems like the more miles into life we have, the more dramatic that can be as a person comes to realize that up until that point in time, you've been living your life out of sync with the Lord and not what God wants. As Abby read earlier during our time of praise music, that God wants all people to walk with him through their Son, Jesus Christ. But as we all know, our world is filled with people who are not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is sin, to be not walking as God wants us to be walking with him. This unsettling is an experience that the Apostle Paul had to go through once when he was still known as Saul of Tarsus. This conversion experience of anyone that comes to know Jesus Christ is something that God has to do in a person's life. We find that the Apostle Paul went through a complete life change from Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul. But what Paul is speaking about here is not speaking in terms of being an apostle. He's simply referring and talking about his own personal life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul didn't get this way. This transformation didn't take place by Paul subscribing to some first century self-help program. No, there was an agency from outside that brought about this change in Saul, and that agent is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at here this morning, and that is that Jesus Christ does not give somebody simply the power to change our lives. Jesus himself changes a life. And as proof of that, we're going to look at how the Lord changed the Apostle Paul of a wholesale change. And I was thinking about that. And really, this is what any church should be praying for, and expect to see of a life changed completely, a whole turnaround. And we see it in the Apostle Paul, and we see it in three matters of Paul's life. And as we would look at verses 8 and 9, we find that Paul is kind of confessing here to the church in Philippi, and as the Lord uses that for us as well, that Paul came to realize what is truly valuable in life. And this dramatic change that Paul went through perhaps would be even a little bit more dramatic than for some other people, because Paul considered himself a man of God. He was born a Jew. He was born into a Jewish family. He was raised a Jew. He walked with God. He seeked to know God's word. He seeked to live his life by God's word. And in fact, he so thought he had it right that he was persecuting that group of people that he thought didn't believe in God, that we now know as Christians, the Way. That there was something wrong with those people. And he took it upon himself. He believed as a servant of God that he understood God's word, and he understood what God wanted, and so he persecuted the Christians. And that took place in his life until he was on the road to Damascus, and there he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment of time, then, from then on, Paul began to go through a dramatic change and a wholesale change in the paradigm of how he saw God and how he saw his relationship with God, and even how that relationship came into being. And so he says there in verse 8, he says, "More than that, I count all things to be loss." Everything up until that time there in Damascus, on that road to Damascus, from that point back in his life, everything that Paul considered himself to be in his relationship to the Lord and what contributed to that relationship, his Jewish heritage, his own good works and efforts, all of that, he came to believe was rubbish. He says, "I consider all things to be loss," because something happened in Paul's life, and that something is Jesus Christ. And so now here, even years later, Paul is still writing about that, not so much the experience, but the impact that the Lord Jesus Christ has had on his life since that experience. And as he looks back, he says, "I consider all things to be considered now loss for the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ." The Lord is telling us there's nothing more valuable in this earthly life than knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not our heritage, as in Paul's case. Nothing. We can take everything of this earthly life, everything that we might gain, and it's not that the Lord doesn't want us to have things. That's not the point, is it? But what is really valuable to you in this life? Because what is truly valuable determines everything else in a person's life. And this is what Paul is stating here. He came to know the surpassing value of Jesus Christ, and because of that, everything else he now considers as loss. In fact, he refers to it in verse 8 as rubbish. He says, "I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." There's nothing else in this world that will exceed, or nothing else that has a higher priority in the Apostle Paul's life than gaining Jesus Christ. Of what happened there on that road to Damascus and the days that would follow, he's looking back fondly on that, of that work of God in Christ that would bring him to that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to gain the Lord Jesus Christ, To be able to make him and be able to say that Jesus Christ, my Savior. Notice what Paul says, that to know Jesus Christ as my Lord. And that surpassing value that he would gain him and have him in this earthly life. And as he continues on in verse 9, he says, and may be found in him. That his whole existence is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he also says there, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. Paul is a man who has been set free from that heaviness of this earthly life of trying to live my life and to do everything in accordance with what God wants, that as God will look upon my earthly efforts, that God would be happy with me, and that everything I do determines my standing before God. And Paul's come to realize it's not what I do that determines my standing for God, it's what Christ has done for me. That is what determines my righteousness, the righteousness that comes from God, he says here, by faith. It rests upon faith in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would gain Christ. That I would have him. That I would be found in him. Dear friend, when the Lord looks upon you, as God the Father looks down upon you, does he see you found in Christ? Or does he still see someone who is still lost from Christ? Someone who is still trying to live under the law, still trying to live their life that was going to please God, that maybe in God's good favor he might see my life that I did enough good things and I didn't do enough bad things that God is going to allow me into heaven, that this thing and these things that I do, that determines my rightness before God? Or are you resting in the righteousness from God through his Son, Jesus Christ? This is what Paul is celebrating. It says there in Isaiah where Carrie read about God is going to do new things. He's going to do things not just on a national scale for Israel, but God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to do a new thing in my life and bringing me to that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we can join with Paul and say, I count all things lost in the surpassing value of knowing Christ. The next thing we find is that as Paul is speaking here of living in that covenant that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ, of living with, seeking a manner of living in union with our Lord. As we look at verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Paul saying that I want to know him, not just in my head, but I want to know him as the Savior of my heart, the Lord of my life, and to live in union, to live that life that Christ wants Paul to live, that the life that the Lord wants each of us to live. And especially if someone is walking currently outside of the kingdom of Christ. Dear one, there's a life that the Lord wants you to live, and it's not the life you're living today. I said earlier, Jesus Christ is the power to change lives. And there isn't a life that anyone is living today or a road that anyone is walking down that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot change that. That is the reason that he came. That we would no longer walk outside of the Lord's will, but we would walk in his will. And it's God's will that we would walk in union with his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul identifies here some aspects of that life with Christ. He says to know the power of his resurrection. To be able to live daily with that assurance and that hope that no matter what happens in this life, that even when this life ends, to know where one's going to spend eternity and the power of his resurrection, to live in spite of the grief of losing a loved one that knew Christ, that someday we're going to meet them together again in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord, Paul says. To know that power, to live in that hope. And he says, in the fellowship of his sufferings. Early in his conversion, the Apostle Paul was told that you are going to suffer much for my sake. Paul was not kept in the dark of what was going to be his life from that point of conversion on, as God would call him as an apostle, and he would be one who would proclaim Christ in a hostile world. We don't see a man regretting that here, do we? We don't see a man here who regrets that Jesus Christ saved him that day and called him to a life of sharing Jesus Christ and proclaiming the wonderful good news to a lost world. No, Paul looks at these sufferings of Christ and to share in the fellowship of those sufferings as a badge of honor. Jesus speaks about it in a different way, and that is that we all have a cross to bear. That if there's going to be a change in the lives of those who are lost away from Christ and to be brought into the kingdom and to be able to walk in that wonderful hope and to be able to write this same claim that Paul is writing, that there's going to be a suffering among God's people as we would take forth the word of Christ. And we live in a world that is hostile to the gospel. They don't want to hear about somebody who died for our sins. And that some of the things that we label now, they are truly yet sins. And Jesus Christ had to die for those sins. And Paul, wearing this badge of honor to suffer with Christ, and that his life now became one of not seeking a righteousness of his own, but a life to seek and to save others. In other words, to serve his fellow man as God has intended Paul's life to be, my life and all of our lives. To love our neighbor as ourselves, as we made that confession this morning. How is it we love our neighbors as ourselves? We share the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, no matter what people might think about us. What we hear from Paul is the voice of a mature Christian, someone who knows his standing before God, someone who is so comfortable in that standing that he's comfortable standing before other people, the lost souls of this world, and proclaiming this Jesus Christ who met him on the road to Damascus and completely turned his life around. Dear one, God wants to do the same in you and for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says he wants to continue on there in verse 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, Paul is moving forward, looking forward to that day of the resurrection. And that's the third thing we're going to look at here this morning, just briefly, as we look at verses 12 through 14. And that is, Jesus Christ gave Paul a zeal for life. Friend, do you have a zeal for life? Many people grow tired of life, it seems, not just because of age, but perhaps because of all the battles of life. And it seems like some days we lose more skirmishes than we win. And sometimes we might get to the point of really wondering why go on? Paul says, I press on. He said, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. I press on. Paul is pressing on. We can press on. Any of us can when we know our value in Christ and we know our purpose in life. That's why Paul is pressing on. His purpose, his reason, his joy, everything of his life is Jesus Christ. And that's the same of what the Lord wants for each one of us. Everything of our lives, everything about our lives, everything in our lives is all centered on Jesus Christ. And the Lord can make us that way, just as he did the Apostle Paul. He said, I press on. Notice what he says there in verse 13. He says, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Friends, this is what the Lord wants of us. Whenever we come before him and confess our sin, forgetting what lies behind. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He says, their sins I remember no more. God doesn't forget sin. He's not some doting grandpa that's aging like the guy before you. God has chosen to remember your sins no more. Isn't that wonderful? God wants us to move on. In fact, not only does he want us to move on, he wants us to press on. Just as the Apostle Paul, to press on, he says, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul determined to press on in faith in Christ. He knew what his life was like before Christ. And he saw the changes that the Lord made in his life. And we too can as well. Jesus Christ is the power to change all our lives dramatically, deeply, and daily. And to remind us all of his forgiving power and the power to change our lives and to forget the things that lie behind, and to press on to that prize of the upward call in Christ, the Lord has given us his Lord's Supper. Would you please join together before we do come to communion to sing hymn number 557, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Thank you. as we come to this time of Holy Communion, there's a matter that the Lord wants each of us to deal with, and that is, how do I come to the Lord's Supper? How do I come prepared? And the simple answer is to come in that humble admission that I need Jesus Christ. I need him. I want him. I need that blood shed for me, that life given for me, for the forgiveness of my sins. If that is what the Lord is speaking in your heart and the matter of your heart, then you are ready for the Lord's Supper. And the Lord Jesus Christ invites you to come. He wants you to come. He wants you to receive what he has procured for each of us. And to do that, he's given us his body and blood and the elements of the bread and the juice. Would you join with me, please, as we would pray our Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me as often as you eat of it." And in the same manner also, Jesus took the cup, and when he had supped and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The Lord's table is now prepared for those who believe in his true presence, that Jesus Christ will give you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Would the ushers come forward, please? Would you please join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you have just given unto us. Lord, we thank you for this most precious gift of life eternal and the assurance that our righteousness is you. For he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word, you have given us the word made flesh. Lord, thank you for all of our provisions. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you grant for us and the hope of life eternal, that sure hope in your Son, Jesus, our Lord. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we want to pray for the Klaus family. Father, we pray for Noel and Ryan and Drew and for Noel's brother, Jeremy. Lord, we just pray that as they grieve the loss of John, that, Lord, they would know your comfort, they would know your peace, that, Lord, the truth of the resurrection would bring them that joy, even though they grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And, Lord, we thank you for our pastor, Micah. Lord, we just ask your blessing that this truly would be a time of rest for him, and that, Lord, as he rests, that as he returns, that, Lord, he would come with that sense, a renewed sense of your purpose in his own life, that, Lord, he would go in that joy of serving you. Father, we pray, too, for our community in this area as we remain under the threat of flooding. Father, we thank you for how you have protected us. Lord, we thank you that we can place our confidence in you and you will continue to protect us and guide us. Lord, watch over our communities, and Lord, we thank you for the gift of spring. Lord, we just simply pray that as you carry us through this time of flooding, that, Lord, we rest in your care. And, Father, we want to pray, too, for the Student Life Center. We thank you, Lord, for this decision, for its construction to begin. Lord, we simply ask your blessing and your watchfulness over every aspect of that construction. Lord, would you give wisdom to the building committee? Father, we simply pray for the protection of all those who will be working. And let, Lord, this entire project now and into the future would be all to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we simply ask this all now in your precious and holy name. Amen. Would you please rise and receive the benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance unto you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, abide in his peace. Amen. Thank you.